And joining us right now is Mark Slaughter of the group Slaughter. You remember them for some great songs that they did. Songs like Up All Night, Fly to the Angels, and Spend My Life on the Wildlife. He joins us right now and celebrating a couple things. One of them is the re-release of songs, albums, like, for instance, Stick It To You and The Wildlife, both re-released. So it's happening all over again, a whole new generation of people discovering Slaughter music.
Yeah, there's a whole new generation of people discovering it, as well as when Capitol contacted us, we were really pleased to be a part of the repackaging, to write the liner notes, to be a part of bringing also our original demos to people to show how the songs were written, how they were taken, you know, from an idea into a reality. And you know, over a decade later, we're still playing this same songs, people are still coming out to the shows, and it's just been great.
I always found it fascinating to hear a song like Real Love in a demo, and then, you know, to find out how it ended up. It kind of shows you the process.
Sure, yeah, it's different. I mean, the demos sound good. We do pretty elaborate demos, especially for that time before people were doing it in their home studios and everything else. We were, you know, going in on borrowed time basically, and knocking it out. You know, again, we've had a great run with everything, and we're really pleased that they even sound better than they did before.
Tell me a little bit about how the group formed and how you guys all got together.
Well, Dina and I both came from the Vinnie Vincent Invasion, and that was back in 1986 that we both toured with Alice Cooper, Iron Maiden. We did that for several years, and after we left, Chrysalis Records picked up my recording option. And once they did that, then we continued on and put a band together. And in fact, the first demos on the Stick It To You were the very first recordings and the very first thoughts of the music that Slaughter was to be in to come.
Hmm. Now, again, you know, you four guys got together and formed in LA and Las Vegas. And, mm-hmm. I, you know, pretty much from the beginning, you guys seemed to enjoy some success.
Oh, absolutely. It was... many sides of it. It was just amazing that we were able to tour with Kiss and Ozzy and Alice Cooper, and you know, it goes down the line of greats that we've been able to share the stage with, and it's ongoing. We're out with Whitesnake and the Rock Never Stops tour once again, and it's you know, again, great songs, great memories, and you know, it's doing really, really well.
Now, what was it like though at the beginning when you know Up All Night came out and was a hit, and then Fly to the Angels, and you were doing the big tours? I mean, was it a lot for the ego to take? How did you guys handle the success?
We really never got as far as an ego. Between all of us, we'd roast each other so much that our egos were always in check. We were all very down to earth, and enjoyed the success, but. We're very thankful for it from the beginning and until now. It's something that you don't take for granted in any success, especially in the music industry, which is, you know, we always used to say that sometimes it's a winning ticket in the lotto, because there is no rhyme or reason or any guaranteed or certain way that you can win in this game. It's just somehow everything seems to happen, and somehow things did certainly happen for us.
Yeah, one of the things I think that does help success, doesn't guarantee it, of course, is to have a record company that's really working hard for you. And I know at the beginning you had a lot of people working for you, but eventually all those folks you knew kind of eroded off the label.
Yeah, they eroded off, and in fact the label itself was taken over in a hostile buyout with EMI, and then EMI actually folded, and on that side of it, and basically we jumped just before that happened. So there was a lot of changes inside the labels. In fact, Capitol, looking back at their catalog, which is where our music ended up, said, you know, this is really great music. We should do something with it, you know, because fans are looking for it. And we said, you know, we'd love to be involved. So
when you're doing the re-release stuff, were you listening with a different ear to the stuff that did so many years ago?
Oh yeah, you do. But you know, the wonderful part of music is that, you know, and this is not just our music, but any music, is that music is this time stamp or this hourglass that can take you back to any moment and memories and everything. You can listen to it and you know, recollect things that you wouldn't normally even think of, just out of the thin air. It just, it's another one of those senses that just brings, you know, memories, thoughts, feelings, and everything right to the table. And, you know, that's, it, I think that, and as far as art, you know, that's what you hope that your art does, is that it becomes a part of somebody's life that, that, you know, is moving and does become, you know, something that brings back those great memories.
Hmm. Yeah, it's amazing when sometimes when things are going so well, all of a sudden a little wrench goes in the thing. And I, you know, reading about Slaughter, when you guys started, things were just so smooth. You know, the American Music Award in 91, and, you know, Wildlife going right up to the top of the charts when it was released. And then all of a sudden, you're diagnosed with a nodule on your right vocal cord.
Right.
Tim Kelly's having problems with and the tour manager with drug enforcement stuff. And Dana had an accident. All of a sudden, boom, 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 things started to kind of put you back to a step behind.
There were some setbacks, there were some things, but, you know, it's like, you know, you can look at it two different ways. Thank you. You can look at it two different ways, that the glass is half empty, half full. And certainly we're always looking at the optimistic side of things. You know, everybody gets obstacles. Things are never running. They never run perfect. And you know, and until you understand the depth of sadness or that type of opposition, you really don't know the full extent of happiness and full, you know, of where things really get, you know, of wonder, you know.
Mm.
And I think that's really where it is with us, is we're, you know, we've always kept it in check. The band itself was the only band from that genre that wrote, produced, and also performed their own music. So it was also something that was very close to the hearts, which I think is what kept this going.
Mm.
A lot of bands are, you know, might be contrived, or somebody wrote this song, somebody wrote that song. But when it's your own, it's your own feelings and your own feelings, you know, of what an artist does, putting them on the line, it becomes more personal.
Think back on that time in 92, when you were diagnosed with that vocal cord problem. What went through your mind? You know, you're a singer, you got a powerful voice. What went through your mind when you had this problem? Did you think, was there a back of your mind?
I didn't think negative.
No?
I didn't think one negative thought. You know, sure, things could have gone astray, but I just thought, well, we'll just deal with this and move forward.
Mm.
You just deal with things as they come. You know, it's like, I think that it's in your, a lot of things are in your mind of how you deal with it. You can either, it can either pull you down, or else, you know, you can find it as a, you know, as a launching board to the next movement.
Mm.
And yes, there was some opposition. Yes, in fact, it became very difficult for Slaughter right around 95. Didn't necessarily go up, but there was a big lull. Grunge had taken over the airways. There was no place really for us. We were out there playing music that we loved because it was our own. And it was changing, you know, and people are thanking us on an everyday basis. So thanks for still playing your music. Thanks for being there. And I think that's what kept us going, is knowing that at that point, I think we were relying on those people out there to say, yeah, we'd love for you to continue to go and do this.
Mm. Well, you know, you've been doing a ton of stuff with all these folks from Alice Cooper and Dokken and Warrant and all these different tours that have been happening. Who are you touring with right now on the current tour?
The current tour is Whitesnake, Warrant, Kip Winger, and ourselves, Slaughter.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And what places are you going to be visiting coming up?
We are going to be across all the way into Milwaukee, down into San Diego, down into San Antonio and Los Angeles, Fresno, you know, all across the board, into Chicago, into St. Louis, into the Buffalo Chip, which is the campground for Sturges. We've got a lot of shows in a little amount of time.
And folks can actually see this tour schedule at slaughterweb.com.
That's just correct, yes.
Which I want to make sure everybody goes to. We're going to actually put a link to it with this interview on our website.
Great.
So that folks can find that stuff. Talk a little bit about, you know, we talked just now about some of the obstacles that came up Tim Kelly straightened out his narcotics thing, and Dana went through rehab and straightened out his injuries. Your vocal cords were set. Things started going well again, and then Tim had that tragic accident.
Yeah, and then we lost Tim in a accident where a truck actually jackknifed and fell over on his car, and killed Tim. It killed Tim Kelly. We wound up going to the funeral, which is a very heavy thing for a band to go through.
Especially when it's something like that where he didn't do anything wrong, was a terrible, tragic accident. But ironically speaking, though, he really kind of indirectly picked his successor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Didn't he?
Yeah. He was really a great guy. He was a lot of fun. He was very optimistic and very happy and up. And when it came to, on the road, he always used to say, man, you got to hear this guy Blando play. He was the sound man, front of house sound man. And later on, we became friends, and Blando became our, he was riding the bus with us, and he was part of the family. And after Tim passed away, we knew that, number one, he admired Blando's playing, and number two, we knew him as a person.
Mm.
And most people don't ever think about it, but you can't just call up a great guitar player and just say, let's put him in the band. It has to be somebody who is also a part of your family or part of what you do.
Right.
And he was perfect for that. He's a great guitar player, and on top of that, he was a great guy. So, it is true. He, in many ways, had picked, Tim had picked him.
Yeah, Tim called him a hell of a player, and
he
endorsed him.
Yeah, so there's plenty of other guitar players we could have picked, but I think that's what Tim would have wanted as well. So
You've said that you made a solemn promise that as long as the fans come, Slaughter will be there.
Uh huh.
It seems to me like rock and roll will never die. And how long do you see yourself touring?
It is what I do. I don't know how long I'll be touring. I think it's as long as the fans are there and as long as people have a love for that music, I'd love to continue to do it.
I mean, Mick Jagger once said that he would never tour past 30, and,
Yeah, well, I think we all kind of say that at some point, but then you start to realize, this is what you do. This is, when you travel around, this is what you love to do and what you, enjoy doing, and it's great,
Did you, in 1990, did you ever think that you'd be still playing past 2000 and still attracting huge crowds of people?
I really did think that I'd still be playing, to be honest with you.
Really?
And I do think there's one thing that has happened with this band is if you cannot see it or dream it, I don't think it does happen. Because you have to have some type of any invention or any type of goal. You have to at least be able to visualize it before you can do it, because otherwise that dream is not there. And certainly in that dream of continuing to play music is something that we all have and we all share, and it certainly that's, in my opinion, what it continues to happen.
You guys still all get along great, and you've never really had any problems in terms of guys getting along with each other, huh?
No.
It's kind of nice then when that
happens.
Yeah,
there's also no substance problems. I mean, everybody's clean. Nobody, I think there's also that people have lives. They have things that they do outside the band. And, getting together is nothing much but more than a vacation, to do what we love to do. And it's great.
I remember you guys doing the theme from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Have you guys done any more film work? At all?
No, I've not done much more film work. I've done some independent films, music, and I've actually been doing some commercial music, but some of it has not launched into other, like I've done a thing for Hot Wheels. I actually did a commercial for that, which is the voiceover on that. So, I dabble in that a little bit, but not in the film side as much as in the commercial side.
How important, though, is it to have that little thing of your own when you're in a band?
Well, I think that, everybody has to have things that they do. because a band isn't a 24/7 thing. You know, you gotta have other things outside your life. Doing music.
I think some of the problems with some of the bands are when band members have nothing on their own and they just depend solely on the band, and they get jealous and stuff when other members are doing their own thing.
Yeah, could be. I mean, I think there's that, and there's also other problems with people, you know, in other bands, if there are substance problems or you know, sometimes it's, you know, just problems with the personality. Some people are different persons. We're all wired differently.
Mm. Mark, when you were growing up, what kind of music were you listening to?
I listened to everything. I listened to rock and roll, to R&B with Aretha Franklin, and to jazz, listening to Larry Carlton, Lee Ritenour. I love music. I've always, you know, loved music since a young child. And anything that is moving, you know, or makes you feel good is pretty much, you know, what I listen to and love.
Any of the people that you idolized when you were young, have you had a chance to perform with them or meet them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, right off the bat, when I was with Vinnie Vincent, I met Alice Cooper. That was a big thrill.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, loved his music, loved his songs, loved what he does. And, you know, I've met some wonderful people in the industry. And, yeah, it's like, you know, it's wild when you meet somebody and they know your name. Of somebody who you've admired for, you know, a lot of years.
Sure.
So now, it's great, you know.
We're talking about the record labels, and I know we only have a couple minutes left here, but it seems to me like the Internet has really taken things to a different level. There are a lot of people now that are doing stuff independently,
mm-hmm.
marketing it through the web.
Sure.
What's your feelings on the web? Do you think that it's a good thing, or is it dangerous in terms of sales?
I can say there's two things. I think we're in a technological revolution here as far as where things are going. Back in the day of Slaughter, when it was all happening and people are like, wow, you know, you did this, you did that, it was a different time. Radio was not as corporate. There was more people listening to the radio and the promotion and everything that you did. You had a straight line into people. Now, say, for instance, if Slaughter does a CD, how do you educate a public whose attention span has depleted so much from the amount of times that they click and you know, our world is so much faster paced?
Mm.
With all that becomes almost like an attention deficit, that things have to be immediate and very, it has to be very, how should I put it? Just makes you to where you're fulfilled right there on the spot. Bang, 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 bang. It's real
right.
fast. And in fact, our editing for commercials has gotten faster. Our,
MTV our, Nation.
Everything.
Boom, boom, boom.
Everything is fast. And with that, the computer age, I think that has complicated people's mindsets. Do I think it's negative? No. I just think that the world's faster now.
Hmm.
So with the computer age, there's wonderful things that can happen out of it. Which is, like you said, that you can, you know, do a CD. Like, I've worked with this band called The Issues, and they have a website called theissues.org. And with that band, they've marketed completely off the web and playing locally and doing all that. And they're getting people from Australia, from here, from there, and it's really cool. And that's exciting because your music can get out in different ways that it would have never even seen that type of distance if you didn't have that venue. So it's a positive and it's a negative. It just depends if you look at it as half full or half empty.
Yeah, I always think of things in a positive fashion. But
yeah.
You're right, though. I mean, look at Ani DiFranco, who's pretty much done everything herself,
mm-hmm.
with no promotions from radio or anything. And
sure.
She's an unusual, though. Most people, as they get a little older and their labels drop them, they do stuff on their own and at least have a little more control. That's one of the things that you have that you don't have if you're on a major label.
Right, you have control, you have creative. Well, we had creative control from the beginning, so we were very lucky.
Really?
They gave us, they pretty much handed us a steering wheel and said, well, do whatever you want to do.
Wow.
And part of that was us being very demanding that, you know, we needed to have that before we could, you know, do what we needed to do.
Hmm.
But, again, you know, looking back on it, we've been very, very lucky and had great success.
The Wildlife from Slaughter, as well as Stick It To You, re-released from Capitol Records. They're available right now. And if you want to check them out on the tour, you can just go to slaughterweb.com. We'll have that link up on the website. Mark, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Same here. Thanks so much.
And keep on playing the good music.
Will do. Thank you.
Take care. All righty.